ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Paul in Hebrews 9 dealt with that. In verses 11 through 14, he put it like this. He said, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And here's what happens with our sins, guys. Paul in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, said that you, being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The handwriting of requirements. If you were in jail, you committed a crime. You served your time. When you got out, they would give you a piece of paper, and stamped on that paper were the words, "Word to Tetelestai, paid in full." Because when you got out of jail, someone may see you. "Hey, weren't you in jail for that crime you committed? What are you doing out here?" "Hey, it's paid in full to Tetelestai." That's what Jesus has done for us. He's taken every one of our sins, something we could never pay for. He paid the full price. He took the punishment that was due us. And now he's given us the paper that says Tetelestai, paid in full. So when someone says, "Hey, look, how could you be a Christian? Look at what you just said." You're right, I was wrong. But here's the thing. My sins are paid in full. And as much as I'm sorry for what I did here, my good works can't outweigh or pay for my bad works that I've done. Jesus paid them all. Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He didn't say north to south. If he said north to south, they meet. He said east to west. Does east and west meet? No. Go east. Does it meet with the west? No, you keep going east. That's how far he's removed our sins from us. They can't be found anymore. He says in Isaiah 43:25, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Thank you, Lord. He doesn't remember our sins. Can you imagine going to heaven? "Hey, Joe, remember on such and such a date?" The Lord doesn't do that because he paid for them. Those sins are taken care of. Every one of them. And here's what we see happening today. The blood atonement, what Jesus Christ has done for us, is being attacked. And it's being attacked by so-called Christians. And I don't think you can be a Christian and deny the blood atonement. It doesn't work that way. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And yet we see professors, we see these colleges, we see these pastors who are promoting this. How sad. And all this, forgiveness, all this is according to the riches of his grace. How rich is his grace? Take a good look at your life. That's how rich it is. It blows me away. You know, when I first got saved, I was a pretty good person. At least that's what I thought. I was pretty good. The longer I'm saved, the more I see the depravity, how wicked my heart is, how evil. And I see the holiness of God. And that's, you know, when the light of God shines upon you, it shows everything. Think about it, ladies. When you're in the bathroom looking at the mirror in regular light, everything's good. Why you guys do this, I'm not sure. But then you turn on this like super intense 1 million watt bulbs that shine. And what do they show? All the imperfections. When we compare ourselves to this world, the light of this world, it's pretty dark, we look really good. When we let the light of Christ shine upon us, we don't look so good. And we say, thank you, Lord, for saving a sinner like me. His amazing grace, the riches of his grace. And think about what God has done. You know, he's opened our eyes. He gave us wisdom or intellectual knowledge. When I got saved, man, just God opening up his word to my heart and my life was amazing. The Bible studies were just, I've never heard it before. I don't know how, about you guys, but man, when I heard God's word being taught, it was like, wow, this is God. This is amazing. It's because the Holy Spirit was showing me, showing you the things of God. Things that were hidden are now open. This is what Jesus has done for us. Why did Jesus do it? Well, verses 11 and 12 kind of explain it. Man's redeemed for the purpose of restoring the divine image marred by sin. And it causes us to praise our God for what he's done. And we even see that in this world, don't we? When my kids were young and we used to go on vacation, camping and all that stuff, you know, I was amazed at the beauty in this country. I mean, just amazing, the variety of things to see. But here's the thing. As beautiful as it is, there's marred by sin, not only in our lives, but in creation itself. And that's something that God is going to restore one day in the kingdom age. Can you imagine what this world will be like? Sorry, no more deer hunting, Jeff. But you'll be able to walk with the deer and the lion and the bear. Oh, my. Sorry. And we have this inheritance in Christ that is incredible. And our salvation is certain. It can't be taken away. In fact, the Greek word for inheritance is in the aorist passive indicative. Oh my gosh, what does that mean? It basically means it's a future event that was so certain to happen that the Greek spoke as if it had already occurred. We've obtained this inheritance. What inheritance? Eternal life with God. It's so certain that it can't be taken away. It's spoken of as it's already happened. In fact, Paul in Romans talks about that we're already glorified. How many of you feel glorified? No, I'm not yet. But he speaks of it as already happening. Why? Because it speaks of our eternal security in Christ. It can't be taken away. Because my eternal security in Christ is not based on my finished work. It's based upon his finished work. And I'm secure in that. And what a wonderful God we have. What an amazing God we have. Years and years ago, there was a slave girl who was bought by this very, very kind plantation owner, and he set her free. And he said, you know, I bought you to set you free. And as she heard those words, she stood there stunned for a minute, and then she fell on her knees and said, I will serve you forever. That's us, guys. That's truly us. God has set us free. I will serve you forever, Lord. So Paul celebrates the work of the Son in the present. We're redeemed by the Son. Look at now the Holy Spirit starting in verse 13 of Ephesians 1. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So Paul proclaims the work of the Holy Spirit in the future. We're sealed by the Spirit. Here's an area that's kind of getting dangerous today where the emphasis is on the Spirit and feelings or emotions and ignoring the Word of God. Well, understand it all works together. The Holy Spirit works alongside the Word of God. And if our feelings or emotions are contrary to what God's Word says, then our feelings and emotions are wrong. We have to be careful with that. Because our feelings can deceive us. Paul says they trusted the Ephesians in God after they heard the word of God. I find it interesting. It doesn't say miracles, signs, wonders, feelings, the word of God, which is living and powerful and able to transform lives. Think about Jesus, right? He was going around feeding people, right? They were following him. Why? Because they wanted more bread. They wanted more food. Where were they when they saw all the miracles that Jesus did. Think about it. He raised the dead. He healed people. Lepers, he cleansed. Where were they when he was on the cross? Isn't that amazing? Miracles don't save us. They can point us to God, but it's the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God that brings us to saving faith. It's the power of God to salvation, Paul said. How do we know that we're saved? It's because the Holy Spirit not only shows us that we're saved, but here's the wonderful thing. He's the guarantee that the Lord is coming to receive us into glory. And that word guarantee speaks of earnest money or a down payment. You know, when you purchase a house, right? You put earnest money down saying, hey, I'm going to buy this house. Here's X amount of dollars to guarantee that I'm buying this house. Jesus Christ has given us the Holy Spirit as his down payment that he's coming back for us. It also speaks of an engagement ring. You know, when I got engaged to Julie 40 years ago, oh my gosh, 40 years ago, I gave her an engagement ring. And it was my guarantee, look, I am serious about a relationship. We're going to get married. The Holy Spirit is our engagement ring. And guess who's coming back for us? The bridegroom. Coming back for his bride, the church. And the Holy Spirit is the engagement ring to guarantee that he's coming back and we'll be with him forever. One writer said, when the Holy Spirit seals believers, he marks them as God's divine possessions, who from that moment on entirely and eternally belong to him. The Spirit's seal declares the transaction of salvation as divinely official and final. Here's the guarantee, guys. Holy Spirit also. Are we secure in our salvation? Yes. Why don't I feel that way? Because you're not listening to what God's Word has to say. You're basing your salvation on your good efforts, your good works, and you'll be beat up. Your salvation is based fully upon Christ. It's not that you've earned it. It's a grace gift, unmerited favor. Another writer said, the seal is therefore the Holy Spirit himself, and his presence in the believer denotes ownership and security. The sealing with the Spirit is not an emotional feeling or some mysterious inward experience. Yeah, we're sealed, guys. The proclamation of the work of the Holy Spirit in the future, we're sealed by the Spirit. Now you know why it was a run-on sentence. You know, Paul couldn't stop, man. Look at verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because of their faith in Jesus, it was manifested in the love of the brethren. You know, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Man, what a key thing in a world today where we don't see a lot of love out there, right? As Christians, that should be the biggest thing. This is the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's manifested in many different ways. But the fruit of the Spirit is agape love, unconditional love. Let's face it, it is a spiritual battle. The flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And he's praying for them that they would continue in the faith with the fruit of the Spirit flowing from their lives with this love. Now he's basically saying, you know, this is your position. Lord, help them to really understand, to comprehend their position and their resources in Christ. Help them to live that way. And there's a few things that Paul's praying for them, and we'll read that as we move on here. But man, can you imagine getting this letter? And what an encouragement. Paul's praying for us, man. How awesome is that? Look at what verse 17 says. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Oh, that you would grow in wisdom and knowledge of Jesus. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing in the Lord. To know God is so important. you look at some of the things that people are doing today that call themselves Christians, how these pastors and leaders are at abortion clinics praying for the abortion clinics to continue on and praising them for the work they're doing. You don't know God. How can you when you are for the murder of innocent children? There's no love there. I'm not saying we're nasty to those that perform these things. We love them with the love of Christ. We let those that are want to have abortions, what it's about, in love. But we don't promote these things. Growing in the Lord takes an effort, guys. You have to study God's word. You have to be open to the Spirit's leading. When Dr. H.A. Ironside lived in Southern California years ago, there was a young man who, he was a young man, and it was preaching in this area, and he would visit this really wonderful man of God who'd come from Northern Ireland because of his health. There was better living conditions for him, and he greatly was used of God in teaching the word, and Ironside would sit with him. He would open up the scriptures in such an amazing way that Dr. Ironside asked him one day, "Where did you learn that?" Well, this man said, "I didn't get it by going to seminary because I never went to seminary. I never learned it by going to college. No one particularly taught me. Rather, I learned these things on my knees on the mud floor of a little sod cottage in north of Ireland. There with my open Bible before me, I used to kneel for hours at a time and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and open the word to my heart. He taught me more on my knees on that mud floor than I could have learned in all the seminaries and colleges of the world." Wow, how true that is. Don't negate the Holy Spirit working in your life as you read God's word. That's what it's about. The author of the book knows what the book's about. Imagine reading a novel or something, and you get to the end, and you're like, "Man, I don't get it. What is this guy talking about? What is he? I don't get how this ends. What's the point?" Who do you go to find out what the book's about? The author. Why don't we? Again, look at what he says in verse 18 here. He says, "The eyes of your understanding," again, praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come." Remember what Paul prayed for back in verse 17, that they would know God? And it's important for us to understand that God is in control of our lives, that we understand his will for our lives, wisdom and revelation. Knowing God intimately, deeply, not superficial. We would know the hope of his calling, that is, God has a specific calling for our lives that he wants us to fulfill. He wants us to understand the wonderful future he has promised to those who he has called. And we have to step forward. And it's all, like Paul said in Romans 8:29, we're being conformed to the image of his son. And we should know his riches. Eternal glory, yes, but the riches in Christ, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that are at our disposal. Many times as Christians, we're like paupers. You know, we're like broke. We have nothing. No, we have everything spiritually speaking in Christ. And do you think God's going to go, "Hey, I'm going to let him flop around a little bit here"? No, he's going to give us exactly what we need when we need it, unless we're going to do it on our own. And then he will let us flop around a little till we surrender to him. But that's what God's doing. Everything, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are at our disposal. We just need to ask. And to know his power, he's all powerful. When we think of creation, we think, "Man, that's God's greatest work," right? What did it take God? He spoke the earth into existence, the universe into existence. How hard was that? It wasn't hard at all. He didn't need 6 days. He just did it to set a pattern. Seventh day he rested. There's our week. No, creation wasn't his greatest work because it was nothing to him. It was easy. It was his resurrection that was God's greatest demonstration of his power and his love for us. that God became flesh, dwelt among us, to go to the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins, rising the third day from the grave. And if death didn't conquer Jesus, do you think God's going to let death conquer us? No. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The minute this tent falls apart, it's done, we're with the Lord. I mean, it's instantaneous. And what a wonderful prayer of knowing God and all that he has for us. Well, listen, look at how he finishes up here. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus needs to be the head of the church. He is the head of the church, but many times he's not in control of the church, and the church is running around like a chicken with his head cut off, not knowing where it's going and flopping everywhere. We need to be guided by him. One writer said, the point of this great petition is that we might comprehend how secure we are in Christ and how unwavering and immutable is our hope of eternal inheritance. The power of glorification is invincible and is presently operative to bring us to glory. Yeah. All that God has for us. You know, Paul spoke about that the Father has placed all things in Christ's hands. He's in charge of all. The head of the body of believers. Here at Calvary, here amongst the churches throughout Manitowoc, and throughout the churches in the world. Yeah, we're a local body of believers here. But we have brothers and sisters all around us, and all around this country, and all around this world. But Christ is the head, and we work together. Because what we are doing for the Lord is not to build Calvary Chapel up. It's to spread the gospel message to a lost and dying world. I'll just warn you ahead of time. When you get to heaven, there's not going to be, well, Calvary Chapel of Manitowoc's over there. We're all together. We're all a body of believers. We're all in Christ, and I like that. And we need to, you know, God has given us the power to do the things we need to do. We need to appropriate that power in our lives. We want to be a bright, shining light for him. And I guarantee you, the more you spend time in the Son of God, the more you will shine. Just like in the summer, when you spend time in the sun, you will either be red and burning, or you'll become dark. I tend to get dark because you spend time in the sun. When you spend time with the Son of God, you are going to shine for him. There is no doubt in my mind about that. As Paul said in verse 3 here in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And like I said, there's the key. Got to be in Christ. Those blessings that he has for us. And I'll close with these words from Ray Stedman. He said, remember, the Bible is just not a history book about the past or a prophecy book about the future. It isn't just a self-help book of ethical guidelines and life principles. It is, first and foremost, the revelation of the living God. He gave us his word in order that we might see him, know him, feel his love, discover his wisdom, draw upon his strength, and rely upon his power. The purpose of the Bible is to introduce you in a personal way to the God of the universe and his Son, Jesus Christ. So if your Bible study time is dull and dreary, take that as a hint and pray that it would come alive so that you may truly know Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Before you begin reading, Lord, show me by your Spirit the things I need to learn this morning. Because every time you're reading God's Word, it's a living document. It's alive, and it's like a surgical instrument that cuts right to the heart of the matter. And having you, you know, I was sharing with Mickey and Andrew tonight, you know, that Mickey does the editing of our studies for the radio station, and how he likes listening to them again. And I said, you know, even when I hear the studies, I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. I forgot about that. I put the study together and I forgot about it. That's how bad it is. But that's how God blesses you. You know, you're at an area in your life and you need to hear something. And isn't it like every teacher that's on the radio that day is nailing you? It's like, come on, they all can't be doing this. But they are, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. That's the wonderful thing. Be open to what God has for you. All these spiritual blessings that God has for our lives. And all he wants us to do is just live for him, to shine for him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you as we begin this wonderful letter to the church in Ephesus and the lessons you have for us and the many more you have for us over the next several weeks as we go through this letter. And I just pray, Lord, keep our hearts open, keep them soft. And Lord, if those things that need to be removed, that we would be willing to give them to you, that we want to become more like you each and every day. And Lord, just bless us this week as we walk with you. And Lord, just thank you for being our God and the tremendous blessings you've given to us. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.